Merry Christmas, everyone. I want to give you a little bit of a review about our church. We have, throughout this year, we had themes. It was a year of renewal. And this year, we had different themes for every month that we had to preach on. And I would like to, I would like to read the list so that you guys can kind of overview and see what we had to go through the whole year. First was renewal of, January's renewal of relationship with God. February was the renewal of our thoughts. March was the renewal of relationship with God's word. April was the renewal of our prayer life. May was the renewal of our ministry. June was the renewal towards our family. July was renewal towards spreading the gospel. August was with fellowship. September was renewal of relationship with our local church. October was how with a renewal of our tithes and offering service. November was the renewal of our promises made to God. And December, this month, is awaiting the return of Jesus Christ, the renewal of understanding that message and constantly being reminded that Jesus is coming back soon. What not a perfect parallel with the birth of Jesus Christ? Because just as the people of old were waiting for their Messiah, and we are likewise waiting for the same Messiah to come back the second time, but not as a baby, but as a king. So we're actually going to go back to 1 John. 1 John, a little bit of history. That 1 John is a book that is dedicated for that renewal process. It's helping Christians to be able to be established in their faith and also helping those who are not Christians to be able to be condemned by the book, technically, because showing that they're not walking the way they should walk. And we're going to continue in 1 John 3, but I'm going to read a few verses back, chapter 2, verse 28, 29. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, talking about the second coming, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Last time we talked about how doing what is right is a characteristic of a Christian. Doing what is right, not actually a destination, it says righteousness, meaning as a process, not a destination. And we talked about how the more we do what is right, the more confidence we have when he comes back. Because the evidence of when we are practicing righteousness is evidence that we are in him. Let's continue in chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Now this is the greatest gift. The Father gave us the ability to be called children of God. If we believe in that child that was in the manger, who died on the cross and took our penalty, if we believe in him, we have the ability. We are like heirs of God. We're called children of God. There's no greater gift. Let's continue reading. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. When Jesus came the first time as a baby, the world did not accept him because he didn't meet the standards of the religious people. He didn't meet the standards of the world. So they rejected him. And likewise, we, the followers, if you're being persecuted, it's a characteristic that you're doing what is right. Right now, we see that Christmas is being pushed away. We see that when we see it's only Happy Holiday now. That Merry Christmas is being, Christ is being taken away from his own birthday. And interesting enough, I was reading this month that the Washington Post wrote that for the first time in decades, the White House has canceled the Christmas celebration. That just shows us the fact that we are living in that time when we are not accepted, just as Christ wasn't accepted. The world system doesn't want Jesus, and the religious system also likewise, because Jesus doesn't play by their rules. Let's continue reading in verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Talking about the second coming, when he comes back, we will actually be like him, sinless and flawless. That is the, if you, a characteristic of a Christian person is one who's striving for that now. But we understand we are flawed. We understand that we can't do it on our own. Therefore, we constantly strive and we ask God for help. Those are characteristics of a believer. That's why we wait for him, because we want to be just like him. And verse 3. And everyone who has this hope, talking about hope in Jesus and his return, purifies himself just as he is pure. Let's look at the people when Jesus was being born in the manger. Anna and Simeon, just like likewise, they were purifying themselves. How, you would say? Well, let's look in Luke 2, 36 through 38, verse 37. This woman was a widow about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but worshiped God with fasting and praying night and day. What was she doing? Every day she was fasting and praying. And this is a state of a person who understands that they are weak. They can't do it on their own. Because she understood how much she relied on that hope, the hope of his coming to earth. Prayer and fasting, is it powerful, you may ask? It's not the act of doing, it's the act of condition of the heart. It's coming before God and saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I can't. It's humility coming before God. Isaiah 58, I recommend everyone to read that when they have a chance, about fasting and praying. And certain things that it promises is to loosen the bonds of wickedness, heavy burdens, free the oppressed, and break every yoke. When we come in humility before the King and say we can't do it on our own, in that humility we ask for help, and then we are successful in our purification. Do you have an addiction? Are you caught by the enemy? Are you burdened? Are you in a situation that you can't handle? Do you have a flaw in your character that you just can't get rid of? Well, there's a good place to start: fasting and praying, coming in humility before the King and saying, I can't do it. We need to be daily in the state of purification so we can see clearly the signs around us that he is returning. Anna and Simeon saw the signs because they were purifying themselves, so therefore they can see clearly the signs around us. Same likewise, we have to do the same thing, because if we don't purify ourselves constantly, doing what is right, and relying on the Lord Jesus to help us, we will be blinded. We will fall asleep. We will not see the second coming of Jesus Christ. We will miss it. If you're not purifying yourself and you're not doing what is right, My question to you, where is your hope? Is your hope in money? Is your hope in your situation? Is your hope in your ability to do something? Just last week, I was talking to a contractor at work. And we were standing there. I'm like, what are you going to say before God when you're standing there at the judgment? He said, you know what? I have a lot of money in the bank. I'm going to come before God and I'm going to give it to him and say, and make a deal. That's what he said. We're going to make a deal. And interesting enough, we're standing there and the concrete, the pavement truck is paving the road. And I'm like, you know what? God doesn't need a piece of the road. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I told him that in heaven, the roads are paved with gold. And as he's looking at the paving truck paving the road, he's like, he froze for a second. Because anything that has value here is completely not valuable there. So therefore, where is your hope? Simeon and Anna didn't miss Jesus because they were consistent every day, praying every day, waiting every day. We can't afford to miss that day. We can't afford it. And Luke writes, after he writes about Simeon, later on in the book, we read from Luke 21, 34 through 36, he's talking about just that, when Jesus returns. And interesting how he says this. But watch yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with deception and drunkenness and cares of life, and that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake all the time, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. We have to stay awake. And true joy, the joy that we hear about as we're driving on the radio now, the Christmas songs, Joy to the World, and all these songs, that true joy will only come to those who are righteous, who are practicing righteousness. Because their hope is in Jesus, and when he returns, they will experience true joy. Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, joy, to the fullest. Now, as Christians, we experience joy. But when he comes back the second time, we'll have full joy. I would like to conclude with a story. A couple years back, during the same time, my wife and I, we were at my sister's house for tea. And we were talking, during the same time, we were talking about the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus the second time. And the whole evening we were talking about it, and it was just, we saw so much evidence of it as we looked around. And after that night, which was a long night, we were driving back home. It was dark, we took the back roads towards our house. And me and my wife were like, let's pray in the car. So we decided to pray in the car. We're like, Lord, are you really coming back soon? And if you are, help us not to miss it. Because the signs are all around us. And we could definitely miss it. And we prayed and said amen. And I said to my wife, I said, okay, let's just listen to some Christmas music. And so we turned on the radio for the final 2 miles as we were driving back home. And then the words from this song from Casting Crowns, While You Were Sleeping, it just is right there in the last verse, and it just put shivers down our back. Because it was exactly what we're talking. We just prayed, and we turned on the radio, and these were the lyrics to the song. I'd like to read them to all of you. United States of America looks like another silent night. As we're sunk to sleep by philosophies to save the trees and to kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky, for the bridegroom has returned, and carried his bride away in the night. The bridegroom, meaning Jesus, and the bride are the believers and the church. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for its king? Will we be sleeping? Will we be sleeping? United States of America looks like another silent night. Let's stand and we'll finish in prayer.